It was now 2 days after the closet scene that I got up about 6 in the morning and, leaving my bedfellow fast asleep, stole down with no other thought than of taking a little fresh air in a small garden which our back parlour opened into. I opened the parlour door, and well surprised was I at seeing, by the side of a fire half out, a young gentleman in the old lady's elbow chair, with his legs laid upon another, fast asleep, and left there by his thoughtless companions, who had drank him down. Figure to yourself, madam, a fair stripling, between 18 and 19, with his head reclined on one of the sides of the chair, his head in disordered curls, irregularly shading a face on which all the roseate bloom of youth and all the manly graces conspired to fix my eyes and heart. Even the languor and paleness of his face, in which the momentary triumph of the lily over the rose was owing to the excesses of the night, gave an inexpressible sweetness to the finest features imaginable. His eyes, closed in sleep, displayed the meeting edges of their lids, beautifully bordered with long eyelashes, over which no pencil could have described 2 more regular arches than those that graced his forehead, which was high, perfectly white and smooth. Then a pair of vermilion lips, swelling to the touch, seemed to challenge me to get the gloves of this lovely sleeper, had not the modesty and respect, which in both sexes are inseparable from a true passion, checked my impulses. But on seeing his shirt collar unbuttoned, and a bosom whiter than a drift of snow, the pleasure of considering it could not bribe me to lengthen it, at the hazard of a health that began to be my life's concern. Love, that made me timid, taught me to be tender too. With a trembling hand, I took hold of one of his, and waking him as gently as possible, he started, and looking, at first a little wildly, said with a voice that sent its harmonious sound to my heart, "Pray, child, what o'clock is it?" I told him, and added that he might catch cold if he slept longer with his breast open in the cool of the morning air. On this he thanked me with a sweetness perfectly agreeing with that of his features and eyes. The last, now broad open, carried the sprightly fires they sparkled with directly to my heart. It seems that having drank too freely before he came upon the rake with some of his young companions, he had put himself out of a condition to go through all the weapons with them and crown the night with getting a mistress. So that seeing me in a loose undress, he did not doubt but I was one of the misses of the house, sent in to repair his loss of time. But though he seized that notion, and a very obvious one it was, without hesitation, yet, whether my figure made a more than ordinary impression on him, or whether it was natural politeness, he addressed me in a manner far from rude, though still on the foot of one of the house pliers come to amuse him, and giving me the first kiss that I ever relished from man in my life, asked me if I could favour him with my company, assuring me that he would make it worth my while. But had not even newborn love, that true refiner of lust, opposed so sudden a surrender, the fear of being surprised by the house was a sufficient bar to my compliance. I told him then, in a tone set me by love itself, that for reasons I had not time to explain to him, I could not stay with him, and might not even ever see him again. My conqueror, who, as he afterwards told me, had been struck with my appearance, asked me briskly at once if I would be kept by him, and that he would take a lodging for me directly, and relieve me from any engagements he presumed I might be under to the house. Rash, sudden, undigested, and even dangerous as his offer might be from a perfect stranger, and that stranger a giddy boy, the prodigious love I was struck with for him had put a charm into his voice there was no resisting, and blinded me to every objection. I could, at that instant, have died for him. Think if I could resist an invitation to live with him. Thus my heart, beating strong to the proposal, dictated my answer, after scarce a minute's pause, that I would accept of his offer, and make my escape to him in what way he pleased, and that I would be entirely at his disposal, let it be good or bad. Our little plan was that I should get out about 7 the next morning, which I could readily promise, as I knew where to get the key of the street door, and he would wait at the end of the street with a coach to convey me safe off, after which he would send and clear any debt incurred by my stay at Mrs. Brown's, who, he only judged in gross, might not care to part with one he thought so fit to draw custom to the house. The risks of Mrs. Brown's discovering my purpose, of disappointments, misery, ruin, all vanished before this new kindled flame. The seeing, the touching, the being, if but for a night, with this idol of my fond virgin heart, appeared to me a happiness above the purchase of my liberty or life. He might use me ill. Let him. He was the master. Happy, too happy, even to receive death at so dear a hand. The fluctuations of my mind the whole day produced one good effect, which was that through mere fatigue I slept tolerably well till 5 in the morning, when I got up and, having dressed myself, waited under the double tortures of fear and impatience for the appointed hour. It came at last, the dear, critical, dangerous hour came, and now, supported only by the courage love lent me, I ventured a tiptoe downstairs, leaving my box behind, for fear of being surprised with it in going out. I got to the street door, the key whereof was always laid on the chair by our bedside, in trust with Phoebe. I opened the door with great ease. Love, that emboldened, protected me too, and now, got safe into the street, I saw my new guardian angel waiting at a coach door, ready open. I was in the coach in a trice, and he by the side of me, with his arms clasped round me, and giving me the kiss of welcome. The coachman had his orders, and drove to them. In an instant, for time was now annihilated with me, we landed at a public house in Chelsea, hospitably commodious for the reception of duet parties of pleasure, where a breakfast of chocolate was prepared for us. I wished, I doted, I could have died for him. My pulses beat fierce amid a flush of the warmest desires. This struggle of the passions, however, this conflict betwixt modesty and lovesick longings, made me burst again into tears, which he took, as he had done before, only for the remains of concern and emotion at the suddenness of my change of condition in committing myself to his care, and in consequence of that idea, did and said all that he thought would most comfort and re-inspirit me. After breakfast, Charles, the dear familiar name I must take the liberty henceforward to distinguish my Adonis by, with a smile full of meaning, took me gently by the hand and said, "Come, my dear, I will show you a room that commands a fine prospect over some gardens," and led me up into a chamber, airy and lightsome, where all seeing of prospects was out of the question, except that of a bed, which had all the air of having recommended the room to him. Charles had just slipped the bolt of the door, and running caught me in his arms, and lifting me from the ground, with his lips glued to mine, bore me, trembling, panting, dying with soft fears and tender wishes, to the bed, where his impatience would not suffer him to undress me more than just unpinning my handkerchief and gown, and unlacing my stays. My bosom was now bare, and rising in the warmest throbs, presented to his sight, and feeling the firm hard swell of a pair of young breasts, such as may be imagined of a girl not 16, fresh out of the country, and never before handled. But even their pride, whiteness, fashion, pleasing resistance to the touch, could not bribe his restless hands from roving. But giving them the loose, my petticoats and shift were soon taken up, and their stronger centre of attraction laid open to their tender invasion. My fears, however, made me mechanically close my thighs, but the very touch of his hand insinuated between them disclosed them, and opened a way for the main attack. Being now too high wound up to bear a delay, he unbuttoned, and drawing out the engine of love assaults, drove it currently as at a ready-made breach. Then, for the first time, did I feel that stiff, horn-hard gristle battering against the tender part. But imagine to yourself his surprise when he found, after several vigorous pushes, which hurt me extremely, that he made not the least impression. He tries again, still no admittance. But he had hurt me yet more, whilst my extreme love made me bear extreme pain almost without a groan. At length, after repeated fruitless trials, he lay down panting by me, kissed my falling tears, and asked me tenderly what was the meaning of my complaining, and if I had not borne it better from others than I did from him. I answered, with a simplicity framed to persuade, that he was the first man that ever served me so. Truth is powerful, and it is not always that we do not believe what we eagerly wish. Charles, already disposed by the evidence of his senses to think my pretences to virginity not entirely apocryphal, smothers me with kisses, begs me in the name of love to have a little patience, and that he will be as tender of hurting me as he would be of himself. He now resumes his attempts in more form. First, he put one of the pillows under me, to give the blank of his aim a more favourable elevation, and another under my head, in ease of it. Then, spreading my thighs, and placing himself standing between them, made them rest upon his hips, applying then the point of his machine to the slit into which he sought entrance. It was so small, he could scarce assure himself of its being rightly pointed. He looks, he feels, and satisfies himself. The driving forward with fury, its prodigious stiffness, thus impacted, wedge-like, breaks the union of those parts, and gained him just the insertion of the tip of it, lip deep, which, being sensible of, he improved his advantage, and following well his stroke in a straight line, forcibly deepens his penetration. But put me to such intolerable pain, from the separation of the sides of that soft passage by a hard, thick body, I could have screamed out. But as I was unwilling to alarm the house, I crammed my petticoat, which was turned up over my face, into my mouth, and bit it through in the agony. At length, he pierced something further into me, and now, borne headlong away by the fury of that member, now exerting itself with a kind of native rage, he breaks in, carries all before him, and one violent, merciless lunge sent it imbrued and reeking with virgin blood up to the very hilt in me. Then all my resolution deserted me. I screamed out and fainted away with the sharpness of the pain, and, as he told me afterwards on his drawing out, when emission was over with him, my thighs were instantly all in a stream of blood that flowed from the wounded, torn passage. When I recovered my senses, I found myself undressed and abed, in the arms of the sweet, relenting murderer of my virginity, who hung mourning tenderly over me, and holding in his hand a cordial, which, coming from the still dear author of so much pain, I could not refuse. My eyes, however, moistened with tears, seemed to reproach him with his cruelty, and ask him if such were the rewards of love. But Charles, to whom I was now infinitely endeared by this complete triumph over a maidenhead, where he so little expected to find one, in tenderness to that pain which he had put me to, in procuring himself the height of pleasure, smothered his exultation, and employed himself with so much sweetness, so much warmth, to soothe, to caress, and comfort me in my soft complainings, which breathed, indeed, more love than resentment, that I presently drowned all sense of pain in the pleasure of seeing him, of thinking that I belonged to him, he who was now the absolute disposer of my happiness, and, in one word, my fate. We lay together that night, when, after playing repeated prizes of pleasure, nature, overspent and satisfied, gave us up to the arms of sleep. Those of my dear youth encircled me, the consciousness of which made even that sleep more delicious.